Hey everybody, welcome to the Friday Filibuster. We had a week hiatus, but we're back in true filibuster resilience, ready to set you up for your weekend. So let's get right to our panel of glitterati. Mac McIntyre.
Hackadoo.
Eric Asherschlager.
Hello.
Daryl Loomis.
Sup.
And you know how it works, so we'll just get right into things. In order of how you appear on my computer readout, we'll go Mac. You go first. But what's been new? What did you do with your week or so as far as entertainment goes?
I got two things, both pretty exciting.
Okay.
One I'll just mention briefly is I saw Cabin in the Woods. Well, you know, everyone on the internet keeps saying, you know, avoid all spoilers. Go into the movie knowing as little as possible. And I did, and I was really surprised. So I'm going to add my voice to the throng and just say, go see it. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it a straight horror movie, or is it something different? Can you say that much?
Go see it. that's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
But you got to see it. It was really good. I really liked it.
All right.
And the other thing that I can talk about, now that it's out there, is last weekend we had the premiere of Legend of Korra on Nickelodeon, which, as you know, is the follow-up to Avatar the Last Airbender.
Right, yes. You were a fan of, correct?
Avatar? Yes, I was a real latecomer to the show, but once I saw it, I just really got into it. It's just an amazing show. And Legend of Korra is off to a really good start. The first episode is really impressive. First of all, the visuals were just amazing. It looks like a, you know, just multi-million dollar feature animation. You'd never guess it was made for TV. I want to see this on the big screen. And it's what they've done is this takes place 70 years after the events in the original series. And the world has really progressed a lot. There's cars now and there's electricity and everything's modernized. But they still have, you know, the characters doing the martial arts and the crazy magic powers and stuff. So it's kind of a mix that way. And the other thing is I'm really intrigued because I have no idea where the story's going. You know, in Last Airbender, there was a very clear cut. Okay, these are the bad guys, these are the good guys, and they're going to go on the quest to stop the bad guys. But with this new series, it's like, well, we get a glimpse of someone who may or may not be the villain, and we're told that there's these secrets going on in the city that we're not really privy to. But it's like the story could just go in any number of directions at this point. And so I'm really curious to see where they're going to go with it. But it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Nice. So has it got like a limited run, or are they just going to, if it's successful, just going to run with it?
I don't know. I imagine they probably got a plan like they did with the original series. You know, they had the original series. They planned out all 3 years of the show in advance, and fortunately were able to, you know, act out the entire plan. I would guess that's what they're doing for this one. That Brian DiMartino and the other guy, what's his name, Konietzko, those are the producers. These guys really know their stuff. So.
All right. Nice. Thank you. Two very disparate examples of entertainment that you endured. Fantastic. Eric, how about you?
Let's see. Well, done a bit. It's been a while since I've been on the show. One thing I'll mention quickly, I have gone back and started catching up with Doctor Who in earnest, just because one of the things on my list I never hadn't gotten around to. And I actually started the first, the first season of the new run probably a year and a half ago. And for some reason, I got kind of like sidetracked after a few episodes. So I've gone back and I know I heard people since then say you can start, you know, with later seasons, or there's some point you can start with and just keep going. But I decided to go back, and I'm glad I have. I'm just about done with the second season now, and I really enjoy it. So
nice.
Old news with Eric Asper.
Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like I'm just not tuned in to what the cool kids like, because I just could never get into the Doctor Who show, but I only watched like the pilot episode.
Yeah, well, your first mistake is calling it the Doctor Who show.
That's true. That's pretty rough. I was pretty. That's what happens when you get distracted halfway through a sentence. You know, just pull up the Red Sox score just for kicks, and I let the 90-year-old part of my brain finish that sentence.
Did you look it up on the Twitter or the Facebook?
On the Twitter, on the internet, on the online internets. So anyway, I'm sure it's really good for some reason.
It's fun. I mean,
only watched the pilot episode.
So yeah, I mean, there was a reason I kind of got a little sidetracked, like I said, partway through the first season. You know, it's kind of like any of those shows that kind of start out as like more of a monster of the week thing. Yeah. And obviously, Doctor Who's been around forever. But you know, once you really kind of get into mythology and kind of the bigger story arcs, it gets more interesting, and that's kind of where I am now. So yeah, I really enjoy it. You know, very fun and clever and good source of whimsy and great acting. I just wanted to mention a movie that I saw recently. It just hit Netflix a couple of weeks ago, and I wanted to see it for a while. It's a recent, I think last year, maybe the year before, a Finnish horror movie. I guess it's a horror movie. Horror Christmas movie called Rare Exports. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yeah, no. I've heard of that. Yeah, it looks crazy.
Yeah, this is basically it's the idea is that there's this you know, kind of remote Finland. There's this town of reindeer herders. I mean, they're, you know, it's, they do what they do in Finland. And in a nearby mountain, there's this team, this American team that's digging something up. And it's not a spoiler to say, because it's the premise of the movie, and they basically don't even make it a mystery. Like, in the first 5 minutes, you know what's going on. But they unearth the original Santa Claus, who wasn't this nice, you know, jolly old elf, but was instead this vengeful spirit that would, you know, punish naughty children. That's all he did. They're digging him up. And the protagonist is basically this kid who figures it out immediately, which is amazing. And that's kind of, I think, you know, part not my problem with the movie, but I think it would be nice if they built up the suspense. But like, basically in the first 5 minutes, he sees what they're doing and says, oh, they're digging up Santa Claus. And he has all these books that show these like horned devil Santa Claus, you know, torturing children and stuff. And then kind of goes from there. And then the local reindeer herd gets slaughtered and kids start disappearing. And then they have to, you know, and then this bizarre looking skinny bearded guy appears, and they have to figure out what's going on. I think it's definitely worth watching. I think that there's some good kind of twists and turns, and the whole idea of it is a lot of fun. It reminds me a little bit of Troll Hunter in the way that it sort of comes up with this alternate mythology and just kind of supports it in interesting ways, and it builds, you know, builds its own, you know, mini mythology within, you know, less than 90 minutes. I think that the movie is sort of limited in some ways. I think they probably knew what their like budgetary limitations were, even though it's shot beautifully and it's, you know, well acted and stuff. I think so they sort of were working on kind of a limited budget, so they don't necessarily expand, and I won't say too much, but like in the climax it doesn't go as far as you want it to, because I don't think they have the ability to really kind of take it home. But I still think it's kind of a weird and interesting movie and worth watching. I guess not for this time of year, but it'll still be around when Halloween and Christmas rolls around. So take your pick.
All right. Nice. Daryl.
Well, most of my stuff, most things I've been watching have been pretty much exclusively for the site, because, after I took a couple of weeks off from reviewing a couple of weeks ago, I dove, sort of headfirst back into it and got, a 16 spaghetti western collection, you know, one of the
Mill Creek. Is it? Is it
a Mill Creek one? Oh, yeah, boy. Yeah. So I've been pretty deep in some awful looking westerns for the last week and a half or so. So they're fun, you know. It's mixed, obviously. Some of them are really, really poor, but there's a couple really good ones on there that I wish somebody would restore.
What are you saying? Mill Creek didn't do a great job?
No, they didn't do a very good job. They didn't do a very good job, some of them are in widescreen, even though they're non-anamorphic.
Oh, that's
but
a
they
weird.
Are in action. Yeah. Well, sort of. Progress. It's tiny, tiny on my television, but you know, at least you get to see the whole thing. Not all the time, but for seven or eight of them. So that was pretty good. And then I did two anime series of a show called Black Butler that I would marginally recommend.
Wow, so the moral of the story is DVD Verdict punishes its writers if they decide to take 2 weeks off.
Exactly. That's steep, exactly right.
Steep punishments.
Or I guess in your case, Dave, they punish their writers if they do too much.
Yes, it's a lose-lose situation.
You got to hit that sweet spot right in the middle.
That's right. Staley's not here, so we'll open up the can of worms here. It's a lose-lose situation. Well, for me, there's one and only one thing that needs to be said, and that is The Raid. I finally saw The Raid.
Oh, good.
Miraculously, it made it to Concord, New Hampshire.
Wow.
It was a shock. Pulled up Fandango, and there it was. So we went to see it last Friday. You're going to go see it again tomorrow. You're getting just some friends who haven't seen it before. Mac, you're welcome to come up at 10 p.m. tomorrow night if you want. to Concord, New Hampshire. It will blow your mind. The rate, it's fantastic. I don't consider myself, you know, too much of a, too much of a buff on a lot of different movie genres. But as far as Indonesian martial arts action spectacles go, I think I could speak pretty forcefully about my expertise. And this movie just is amazing. Maybe it's a cabin in the woods type of experience, because no matter the hype, and there's been a lot of hype about it, and Lord knows I went in there super hyped, but it eclipsed it. It is violent, nonstop, straight action, no wires, no CGI, no quick editing. The guys are doing it, are punishing themselves in a huge way, and it all ends in one of the great fight scenes ever put on film. It's a three-man fight scene, a two-on-one fight scene. And it really, really is amazing. So, yeah, I left the theater jittery. Like, I was, my nerves were shot. I was so amped. And luckily the theater had the high-definition video going, and they just cranked the sound for all six of us in the theater. There were like six people there. So, but I was grateful for it. So even though they made about, $40 on that showing, I was happy for it. So The Raid, also known as The Raid Redemption, even though that little subtitle doesn't really make any sense. Highly recommend. I don't know. It's being remade. Hollywood is remaking it, so I have no idea what that's going to look like.
Romantic comedy, probably.
Sorry, Mark Wahlberg, I'm sure. So, because the reason the movie is so electric is the fact that, these guys are just legit fighters, and essentially the camera just lets them go. I mean, you're talking about just these extended sequences. So, there's nothing. They're not really hiding. It just feels legit. So, can't recommend it. You can't recommend it more highly. So, if that makes any sense. I think I butchered the English language there. So, let's move on and ignore that and talk about speaking of the site. And Daryl, you can get a pass here because you already regaled us about your exploits. So, we'll hit some highlights, Mac.
For the site, I've got the next release of Ben 10, one of my favorite shows.
That's right.
And
Has the Ben 10 collection overtaken your living arrangements yet? is it like the Blob?
Not yet, but on my shelves I had a special section related to Ben 10, and now I've got more discs than space on that shelf.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going to have to rearrange the shelves to make room for all the Ben 10 discs.
Nice.
It's a lot of fun. This is Ben 10 Ultimate Alien, where he, transforms into aliens and then transforms into their ultimate versions of the aliens. And, what's going on in this one? The bad guy Vilgax returns in the big finale, so we get more Vilgax action. And he, too, transforms into, like, this big monstrous form. So lots of transformations going on. And we get some more background on the Forever Knights. They've been like bit players all along, but now they kind of get their moment in the spotlight, and we find out what their deal is. So people who don't watch the show have no idea what I'm talking about right now. But
Maybe there's someone out there. There's got to be someone out there, nodding their head and shaking their fist in agreement.
The packaging says that this is the ending. This is the final Ben 10. It's the ultimate ending. But that's not true. Because this fall they're premiering Ben 10 Destroy All Aliens, which is going to be the new series.
Wow, keep it coming.
Yeah.
They have a crossover with King Ghidra, like from Destroy All Monsters.
That would be sweet.
That would be sweet.
Ben could use the Omnitrix's yellow function and scan King Ghidra, and then he could turn into Ultimate King Ghidra.
Wow, man, then he would be unstoppable, Mac.
Have we switched over to a digital geek barometer yet?
Yeah,
or is the old one that's still in the shop?
We're still that technology isn't here yet. It's still being developed. So
I hear there's an app for that. I don't know what that means.
Anything else, Mac?
That's about it.
All right, very good. Eric, how about you?
All right. Well, this week I'm going to be reviewing We Bought a Zoo. And another Yo Gabba Gabba collection. Looking forward to that. But I haven't had a chance to watch any of those yet. So I will quickly plug something that I reviewed last week, which should be going up this week sometime. It's a sort of a kids, there's a whole kind of movement. I think they kind of call it kindy rock, like kid indie rock, whatever. Like, stuff that's family friendly, but is a little more easy to listen to than, say, the Wiggles or something like that. And so this guy, Morgan Taylor, has this character called Gustopher Yellowgold, who's an alien from the sun who came to Earth and landed in Minnesota. And he basically, each of these releases, he writes, it's like, I think 11 songs, you know, just like 2 to 3 minute, songs. And for each one, he's drawn, it's almost like minimally animated, you know, book pages, picture book pages. And it's pretty charming. I'd never, come across it before, but the music was, is well written and interesting, and the guy is very sincere, and it's pretty cool. So if you have kids, worth checking out Gustopher Yellowgold.
Right.
That's it. That's all I got.
Gustopher mm-hmm. Yellowgold.
Yeah.
It sounds like something. I'm just not clever enough to think what it sounds like. So. All right. Well, I guess I'll just piggyback on Eric's stuff here. 2 seasons of the Fresh Beat Band, which is the series that gets the most play in the Johnson household. Our daughter loves the Fresh Beat Band. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Fresh Beat Band. It's a Nick Jr. show. And I have to say, it's not terrible. It's catchy. It's fun. Everyone smiles. It's not cynical at all. It's, I don't know. It's just a energetic show that my daughter sits and loves and watches quietly. So what more can I ask for?
Is it a cartoon?
No, it's a live action. Just kind of like 4 20 somethings, and they just get into a wacky hijinks, like they wash their car and they wear slippers, duck slippers that quack, and those kinds of things. And then they break out into song, and that's pretty much it. They'll have a guest star occasionally. Nikki Blonsky guest starred in, you know, from the Hairspray. From Hairspray. And then a couple other people, a couple other recognizable faces, but certainly not the celebrity cattle call that is Yo Gabba Gabba.
No.
Which is impossible. Fun.
Is it sort of like a less psychedelic Monkees?
It's pretty straightforward. It's not like, you know, we're not talking Teletubbies or, you know, nothing like that. The Monkees, man, that's a. I wish I could draw a line to the Monkees because I love them. But no, it's pretty straightforward. They all wear pastel colored outfits and they sing and dance and their teeth are blazing white and they're just full of fun and pep and I don't know, but it works. The formula works. So, the Fresh Beat Band is actually coming live to New Hampshire in September, and we are going to go see it as a family.
Oh, so you took your daughter to see The Raid, and now she's going to take you to see Fresh Beat Band.
Pretty much.
It's a nice trade-off.
That's right. My daughter loved The Raid.
I bet she did.
I mean, she wanted to fall asleep, but that was not going to happen. Okay, Mac, take us onward and upward.
Sure. We're going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to go to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the Upcoming Releases tab. And from there, we're going to scroll down to the link for the Cover Art Gallery for April 24th. And we're just going to talk about what's on the list, and you at home can follow along.
Now, what's this Halle Berry movie, Dark Tide? Is this something that actually made in the theaters that I missed?
That looks like something that was old and that they re-released.
Yeah, I just re-released
it. I don't know. I could be wrong. The name Dark Tide seems so 90s.
It does seem. It says 2012 on it.
Like I said, it seems so 90s.
Halle Berry plays the Shark Whisperer in this movie. She's a shark expert.
They should have just. Well, why didn't they call it the Shark Whisperer?
That's
the
much better
title. I'd watch that. Dark Tide.
Yeah, who do you want to watch? The Dark Tide or the Shark Whisperer? Yeah. You could sell that to your wife. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Halle Berry's in this?
There aren't enough things where people whisper. You know, there aren't enough whisperers. It's your horse whisperer, your ghost whisperer, your shark whisperer. I don't see a through line, but
I like this Karate Girl movie.
That's a title that works.
Just as the people who came up with the title gave up on coming up with something interesting for a title, I love their tagline is pretty generic too. Karate Girl. Revenge is her destiny. So, sounds like we're just pumped through the generic title maker.
You guys know anything about this movie, The Innkeepers? The horror flick that kind of came and went real quick last year?
Nothing.
Oh.
No.
I heard some good things about it, but I don't. If you ask me like what it's about or anything, I'm like, it's about innkeepers. So.
It doesn't really have a terrifying quote.
I don't speak in
title. They were the Sin Keepers.
There you go. That, now we're somewhere.
Oh, that, I looked it up. It's made by this, directed by this guy, Ty West.
Oh, yeah, he did House of the Devil. Yeah.
He did House of the Devil and Cabin Fever 2, which is actually surprisingly good.
Really?
Yeah, and I liked House of the Devil a lot, so.
Yeah, House of the Devil was great.
Yeah, that might actually be something to check out. A couple of genre, sort of genre, not reboots, but new versions of old genre movies on the list coming out this week that I reviewed. The Scarlet Worm is a really good low-budget Western that I totally recommend. It's definitely low budget, but it hits all the right notes. If there's any Western fans out there, The Scarlet Worm is certainly something to check out.
Nice, all right.
And then if you're a fan of old style Italian horror, like Dario Argento style horror, the Ubaldo Terzani Horror Show is something fun to watch. Pretty interesting. Not really retro style, but definitely hits a lot of those old giallo notes, and it's also a lot of fun.
There's definitely a nip slip on the cover.
Okay, well, good.
I think that's a blood spatter, Dave.
Yeah, of course it is.
Right. Now, Daryl, have you ever seen the movie Deadline?
Deadline.
Yes. Are you familiar with that movie Deadline?
Old?
Let me see here.
Probably 70s, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, 70s or so.
I don't think so.
Right. Do you ever wonder if that movie actually existed?
But I mean, here it is on Amazon, has it? Just on VHS. Doesn't give you much to work from. I would check it out. It's one of the few movies that generally upset me. And I think I speak for Eric, too, when I say
yes,
that.
Okay. Yes, good. Yes, extremely.
So there's a lot of movies on IMDb called Deadline, which is not surprising, I suppose.
Yeah, see, it stars Stephen Young and Sharon Masters, according to Amazon. You can get the VHS tape for $3.99.
I'm not going to do that.
I'm almost pay for that just so you can watch it, just so I could see if I'm crazy and thinking that it's effed up.
Oh, yeah, I don't think it existed, Dave.
It's there.
I don't
you
think
can't push
we
it out
ever saw it. I think, well, okay, sure. Sure, I blocked it out, sure, but.
Is this the video from The Ring or something?
It might be.
About an author whose horror stories come to life, and they tend to be quite horrific.
Interesting. That's actually kind of the plot of the Ubaldo Terzani horror show.
Yeah, interesting.
It's also the plot of that one Amazing Stories episode.
Oh, good. Yeah, I can find this. There's a person in the movie named Rough Trade.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, and somebody named Mary Risk. So, yeah, this sounds pretty awesome.
It does. I mean, all I can tell you is a priest gets crucified and some nuns cannibalize his body.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a 1984 horror movie.
Yeah. 84, huh?
84. Yeah, I'll find this out.
Yeah, we bought that movie... you know, with a whole bunch of other cheapo VHS tapes, and mm-hmm. along with a movie like called Monster High and some goofy fun movies, and we popped it in thinking, oh, this would be a fun horror movie, and it was terrible. It was terrifying, rather.
Good. I'll check this out.
Yes.
We were young then, Dave.
We were young.
we grew up fast that night.
No, we did.
I've seen Monster High, man. That's a
you
that's
have
a
seen Monster High?
That's
Monster
a terrible
High.
Movie.
That is a terrible movie.
It does not live up to the title.
It's not a great title to begin with.
No, that's saying something. I can't believe you've seen that. All right, well, this week bores me, so let's move on. Inadvertently sleazy sounding DVD release of the week. Mac, what do you got?
How about I'm Dickens, He's Fenster?
Eric.
I'll go back with the Scarlet Worm.
Yeah, just thinking about that.
Daryl?
We're going to go with The First Beautiful Thing.
It's not bad. I'm going to go with something even less sensical. Pearls of the Czech New Wave.
That is filthy.
It is filthy.
Filthy.
All right. final phase of our show here is our ambush topics, and we'll get right at it, just throwing random topics at each other. Let's see. Mac, why don't you kick us off this week?
Okay. Half man, half animal.
It's very close to an ambush topic I was considering. Human-like animals. But
oh.
Half man, half animal. Okay, I'm going to go with the Beast from The Beast in Space.
Oh, my God.
That's clear, Carol, yes. Have we talked about this? Have you already
talked about this? I feel like we have. Briefly about The Beast in Space and or the original Beast.
yeah. So, I mean, he is half man, half animal.
Definitely. He has a tail.
He has a tail. He's got hooves.
He has a tail even when he looks normal, like even when he looks like a man.
Yeah, the Beast. and when he's in space, he's just as half man, half animal.
Half beast.
Chugging down Uranus milk, which is a real thing, according to the canon of The Beast in Space. Uranus milk.
Oh, my God. Those are special movies.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'm sorry to bring that up.
Well, that's okay.
Nothing sexier than a stable.
All right, I'm going to go. The first thing that popped into my mind was going to be a Simpsons reference, but because I've sworn those off, I shall not make it. So I will go with Mystery Science Theater fans will recognize, of course, Manos, the Hands of Fate, and in it, Torgo, the goat-like, you know, handyman, I guess, of the master. I don't recall him exactly, but he has very definite, like, goat legs that are very hard to see, but are actually there. Maybe they'll be easier to see in the restoration version. I don't know if you've heard of this. Mac, have you heard of the restoration?
I think I did hear something about that. Yeah, it's like a crowdsourced thing, and they're trying to...
Well, no, I think it's like someone found... I don't know. I'm going to butcher this, but I think it's probably going to sound cooler if I say it this way. Someone found a rare print, like one of the original like prints. I got it at like a yard sale or something, or maybe they bought it in some like estate sale. And they're going in, and they are scanning it all in at high def, so it can be put out on Blu-ray in this like pristine version that we've never seen before of this terrible, terrible movie, which is great, which is really great.
I am going to go with a favorite movie of mine, The Fly. Jeff Goldblum.
Yes.
Oh, sure. Great movie.
You ever see, what are your thoughts on The Fly 2, Daryl, if I might ask?
I haven't seen it in years, but I was sure against it at the time.
I recommend it just for its... the fact that it just goes for it, man.
Who's the star of that one?
Daphne Zuniga.
Yeah, and Eric Stoltz.
Eric Stoltz. That's right.
But it's shockingly violent. Like,
well, that's the way it should be, I guess.
Yes.
A really, really disturbing ending too. Very way disturbing. More disturbing than the first.
I don't even remember.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. An interesting oddity, I suppose. All right, Mac.
For mine, I went to television with an episode of one of my favorite shows was The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr. And in one episode, Briscoe faced off against the villain Frenchie Bearpaw. And Frenchie had his hand cut off, so he took the bear's paw with the big bear claws and just replaced his hand with the giant bear paw. Hence his name, Frenchie Bearpaw.
Ah, good.
Is very one of my nice. Favorite one-off villains. And because Briscoe was played by Bruce Campbell, and I always wanted to see Ash with his chainsaw hand battle Frenchie Bearpaw with his bear claw hand. That only happened in my fantasies.
In your fan fiction, right?
Exactly.
Come in the fan fiction. Okay, Eric, what do you got?
All right. Well, since I recently been watching Doctor Who and Game of Thrones, I'm going with great instrumental TV theme songs. Instrumental only, TV thing. So.
Well, I reviewed this. I think I enjoy it. For some reason, I just love listening to the theme song. I don't know why, even though the show was so dated and ridiculous, but the Dynasty theme song. I couldn't remember. I need to YouTube it again, but I just remember pausing to just enjoy it every episode when I was reviewing it. I don't know. It just maybe it brought me back. Maybe. Like, my mom watched it in the, you know, watched it all the time, and I just kind of soaked it in subconsciously as a child. But, yeah, big fan of the Dynasty theme song.
Going back to another one of my favorite shows of all time, probably my number one all-time favorite show is Twin Peaks. With that great sort of...
Absolutely great.
Yeah, great, really sort of slow-paced theme with those two deep notes that kick it off. You know, and it plays over the images of just the town looking all tranquil and peaceful, and yet we, the audience, because we're also cynical, we know there's all kinds of horrors and nightmarish stuff going on beneath the surface of the town. That's Angelo Badalamenti. Did that great theme.
Nice.
Yeah. Since, you know, it's what I've been watching for the last few months, the Deadwood theme sets up the show really, really well every time I put it on. Similarly with the Twin Peaks theme, it's just, you know, played over sort of very, you know, abstracted Western imagery and just works really, really well.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with another British sci-fi series. The TV version of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
He uses part of an Eagles song. The Eagles song is, what's it called? It's called Journey of the Sorcerer. And that's the opening theme song, Hitchhiker's Guide, which I didn't know until just a couple years ago, but it's a great song.
Would you actually load it onto your MP3 player of choice?
I think I have it somewhere.
Nice.
I have an edit of it. It's a long thing. It's like 6 minutes. It's like, you know, they use 30 seconds of it for the TV show, but...
Nice. All right. I will go next. Memorable versions of Hell or Heaven.
I'll start with the version of Hell in Hellraiser 2.
Oh, I was going to say that. You took mine.
So are you a fan of that interpretation or not a fan?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of it. It's just... it's kind of Dante-esque with its, like, fitting punishments, but otherwise it's just this huge labyrinth maze.
Yeah.
Hellraiser 2 is not as good as the first Hellraiser, which is one of my favorite horror movies, but that is pretty kick-ass. Honestly, looking at the way they designed Hell in that is pretty cool.
How many Hellraiser movies... And are there?
There are.
I think there's eight. Right?
Doesn't he make it out? Doesn't he make it into space at one point too?
He does. Four makes it into space. I actually like the fourth one, even though it's an Alan Smithy movie. I like it. I like a lot of the Hellraiser movies because what they wound up doing after that one. I'll defend them because they just sort of took the puzzle box and made it the central figure, and told stories, like horror stories, and then put the box somewhere in there and had about 5 minutes with Pinhead and the Cenobites. And, you know, it allowed them to do a lot of, you know, interesting low-budget horror movies. You know, I like them. I'll defend them.
Nice.
But, yeah, I think there's eight, including a video game, a movie that takes place sort of in a video game.
Oh, yeah. That series had more legs than I gave it credit for, I guess.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be done after the fourth one, and, you know, Alan Smithy and all. But then this guy, Rick Boda was his name. He directed, like, the next two and did a really good job. And they were, like, you know, made two more after that. So
I just remember in the third Hellraiser when they all come to life in the party and some guy gets his face impaled in the CDs.
That's the first. That's the CD. There's the DJ. There's the cameraman. The cameraman Cenobite that focuses in on your face. Real helpful. So, yeah, that was really bad.
All right.
I'll go with, I guess, Heaven and Hell in What Dreams May Come. Which is an overly sentimental movie. This is the one with Robin Williams as the, I can't remember now. I feel like his son dies as well.
Actor,
I don't know.
There's a clown nose and cheers people off.
That's the one. Except he teaches poetry to soldiers in Vietnam. This is the one. Anyway, he ends up going to the afterlife. And, so most of the movie is kind of set there, and it's this kind of, first year, there's in this version of heaven where everything is made of paint, and it's this kind of impressionist landscape, and he can, like, reform it, and then he goes, you know, there's a lot of kind of interesting imagery, and then later on he goes into a version of hell, and he's on it, like, this point where he's, like, walking on all these people's heads, is like all, like, these bald heads that kind of make up this, like, pathway that he walks on. Pretty interesting movie from, like, a kind of visual perspective. A little saccharine, but hey. It's a Robin Williams movie. It's either going to be saccharine or terrible, so.
Let's see. I guess I got to just go with the obvious here on this with Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Yes.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Way to take mine. Appreciate it.
A lot of that going around. And
the controversial Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Right. we get hell. We see their personal nightmares come to life with the military school and the aunt that wants to kiss
and
them.
And a rabbit,
or
right? And a killer rabbit? Yes.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was some crazy stuff. And then in heaven, there's all the famous celebrities are in there, like Einstein's playing ping pong, I think. And I wonder if that could get made today.
Yeah, very biblically sound in their interpretation. All right, well, I have to go with my backup, I suppose. It's kind of boring, but a movie that I think the entire free world despised, but I actually liked Constantine. You know, like, speaking of Keanu Reeves, there's a little connection to yours, Mac.
There you go.
But Constantine, which I liked, and they had some fleeting glances of hell, and it was pretty much standard issue fire and suffering and whatnot. But you know, it was pretty good. You know, it was like weird, ghoulish bodies writhing, and I think there's some worms going on and stuff. So
that was actually one of the more interesting parts of the movie, because when he goes to hell, it's like all the buildings and everything are the same.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it was.
Except just all messed up.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. It was like an atomic bomb went off or something. And the camera pans down to like hell proper, where you know, everyone's just in torment and whatnot. So, yep. So that was memorable. And didn't really get. Actually, he did get kind of a glimpse of heaven at the end, too. So it looked like a, you know, God rest his soul, a Thomas Kincaid painting. That's what it looked like. All right. Okay, well, Daryl, why don't you wrap us up?
All right, well, you know, I watch a lot of horror, so I see a lot of remakes, obviously. Started to think, you know, we've got remakes coming from everywhere, including board games these days. So a big untapped market is songs. So tell me a song that you'd like to see made into a movie. It's not – they've done it with like you know, my favorite is Convoy. you know, The Gambler. And so there's – you know, it wouldn't be the first time. There's thousands of songs.
Mm. Yeah. They did it with Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
They did do it with Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Nice.
Well, I'll go with this one. Even though there was apparently a movie that was used the same name, it's not about the song. Going back to the Eagles, I'll say Hotel California.
Dang, that was mine.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Wow. Slick.
Some
nice.
Telepathy going on here on this week's show.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Well, I guess it goes to the horror thing, right? You got the, you know, stealing knives, killing the beast, and the can never leave, and the mirrors on the ceiling, the pink champagne on ice, etc. So actually, there's some dumb lyrics in that song, but it's very atmospheric.
Let's see. I'm gonna go with one-eyed, one-horned, flying purple people eater. Kind of the concept pretty much sells itself, right?
It does.
Yeah, like a CG kids movie kind of a thing. Like I have a Peach Dragon for the 21st century.
Or there are Toho like Studios that release.
I think like what's that guy's name? Roland Emmerich. Yeah, let's get him on that.
the world is gonna end. Thanks,
exactly.
One eyed, one horned, flying purple people eater.
How about it's been a while since we've had. It's been a while since we had a movie like with a big twist involving someone who's crazy, a la like Primal Fear or whatever. So how about Insane in the Membrane, the movie? <You know? laughs> Get Cypress Hill back in front of the pop culture radar that where we need them to be. So, yeah, I don't know what to – I have to look up the lyrics. I don't think the lyrics have anything to do with anything, but I'm just going to go with the title, Insane in the Membrane. Insane in the Brain. Yeah, there you go.
What would the membrane portion of the movie be?
I don't know. All I know is we got such great lyrics like the lights are blinking, I'm thinking it's all over. When I go out drinking, I'll make my mind slow. So.
That works.
Don't you know I'm loco to the one on the flam? Boy, your temper, just toss that ham in the frying pan like spam. So
somewhere between, like,
so
they're out drinking, they go to the diner, get some, you know, breakfast, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's like John Cassavetes.
There you go.
That's thing more like a Leaving Las Vegas.
Leaving Las Vegas buffets.
You know. There you go.
All right, Daryl.
Well,
since, you got to rebound.
Yeah,
now.
I got to rebound. So
there are lots of other Eagles songs you could choose.
There are lots of other Eagles songs, but I'm actually it's because you mentioned the dumb lyrics in that song. I'm going to go ahead and go with Steve Miller Band's "Take the Money and Run."
That'd be good.
Because I mean, it's a, you know, it's got a story in it on its own anyway, but the song has the worst rhyming of any song I can think of. Billy Mack is a detective down in Texas. You know he knows just exactly what the facts is. He ain't gonna let those two escape justice. He makes his living off other people's taxes. So
if you,
yeah,
if you sing it fast enough, people won't notice.
Yeah. No, yeah, people just won't notice. But yeah, sounds like a pretty standard like Bonnie and Clyde type movie. And I had to think of one on the fly, so that's what we got.
And you get the sequel could be Jungle Love.
Yeah, Take the Money and Run 2, Jungle Love.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just when I hear Jungle Love, I just you know, I don't know. I just seem to my eyes glaze over because that is the name of my autobiography that I'm publishing next month. So I wanted to wait until I told you guys, but there you go. Cat's out of the bag now. So.
So you're finally gonna
Paul Johnson story.
So you're finally gonna, you know, set the record straight on what happened in Thailand. And
yes, there's a lot of misinformation floating out there. Absolutely, and I actually
I know I've
read your Wikipedia
page. Well,
all right. Well, enough of that. We don't want to start turning those rocks over.
That's a tease. That's
a tease. So yeah. So with that bombshell, let's just end this now. And thank you to Eric, Daryl, and Mac for jumping on board. And Friday Filibuster, DVDverdict.com is the email. You know how it works. And Mac, why don't you be so kind to end it for us?
Hey, we're the Monkees.